Just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we belong to yourself and the expression of your church here at Abbotsham. And as we bring our gifts and offerings this morning, we pray that gifts and givers alike might be taken and blessed and indeed used of God to the extension of his kingdom here on earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the prophecy of Micah, as indicated, is going to be the topic for the next few Sundays here at Abbotsham. I got a text message from greetings from sunny Portugal on Wednesday, I think it was. And it was from Piers. He's been sunning himself in Portugal. He's come home because his mum's not well. I think he'd only be planned to come home anyway. But he sent it and he said, last week, this is what we did. And he sent me a little doings, and I pressed on the phone and it came up. I think you had a picture, didn't you? A 6-minute video of Micah, and I just looked at the thing on the front as well, and I thought that's a much better sermon than the one I brought, actually. That's a very good but the prophecy of Micah is one of those books that we don't often look at. And but I guess if we've read the prophecy of Micah, which won't take very long to read, we perhaps realize that there is little bits of Micah that we know already. If you've got your Bible with you, chapter 5 and verse 2, for example, is a very familiar verse in Micah. And it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will rule over Israel. It's this, it's the prophecy that Jesus would be born in that little town of... See, I knew what I was doing by picking that in. The little town of Bethlehem. It was prophesied in Micah. It was Micah who prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. In chapter 4 and verse 3, there's another verse that we often say... Remember, in November, Remembrance Day, listen to this one. Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. You're saying it with me. I ain't going to study war no more, was the American spiritual equivalent of it. And it's just little verses. Like that. Chapter 6, verse 18, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8, which is probably a key verse in Micah, and it's a verse that many churches have as their motto text for the year. It says, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. One American preacher said, there's action, act justly. There's affection, love mercy. And there's association, you walk humbly with God. Chapter 7, verse 18. We just sung it, actually. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? Who is a pardoning God like thee? That's from Micah. The hymn we've just sung is taken from Micah chapter 7. But after those three or four verses, I guess we are really struggling as to what Micah is all about, and we know very little. We probably know something about Matthew's gospel, about, you know, Jesus born, lived, did miracles, taught, and eventually was crucified. We know the general drift, but Micah, yeah, we're struggling with it, really. The book itself doesn't divide easily. The book doesn't divide. In fact, Micah is one of those preachers who he jumps about a bit. He starts off, he says, look, I want to tell you this. And then he'll say, oh, it just reminds me of a little story. And he goes off on a tangent. And then... and then... and then... And then he'll come back and then he'll try and think, well, where was I? And he'll come. But Micah does that. He does that. I put in my notes, there's preachers like that around. But he jumps around a bit. And so he's telling you one theological, and then he gets sidetracked. But perhaps a good division is the word listen. We find it in chapter 1 and verse 2. And this is what he says. He says, hear, O peoples of the earth, listen, O earth, and all you that are in it. And then he goes on into chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, listen, all you leaders. And then he goes on in chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, listen to what the Lord... You know, he's saying, listen, listen, listen. And if we divide it into those three sections, we still find even within those sections, he's still jumping about and giving one idea and another idea. And it's all mixed in like that. Well, we're going to study it chapter by chapter in a general. But if I was to give you the book of Micah in a sentence, Micah is saying, your sin is going to be judged. That's what it says on one of these little screens on the front. Your sin is going to be judged. But, the third one, there is forgiveness. Because, the fifth one, there's a Saviour. Micah is about judgment. Micah in three words is judgment and salvation. Micah in one word is gospel. That's what Micah is all about. He's saying that God's people are going to be judged for their sin, for their iniquity, for their wickedness, but there is forgiveness. There is salvation. You can be forgiven, and that judgment price has been paid. There is forgiveness. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And who has grace so rich and so free? A little bit of background in case you weren't here last week, or in case it was an American accent, wasn't it, on the YouTube thing. But Micah was from chapter 1, verse 1, a place called Moresheth. Geographically, that is, you're not going to be tested on this, but just to let you know, I've read the books, all right? 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, on the Philistia border. But it was a small, insignificant. It was on the main road. It was a bit like the A39, the Atlantic Highway, is up there, and then there's Aberdeen. You know, it's off the. You don't go to Moresheth Gath. You don't go there. It's on the main road. You know, you can see there's traffic going to Bew that way, to Barnstable, Biddeford that way. But you don't, unless of course it's fate day, and then you couldn't move in Habersham yesterday, could you? I know we'd already parked and the car's unbelievable. But normally it's just one of those out of the way places. That you just didn't, I didn't want that to sound quite rude about Aberdeen, but that gives you the idea of what it is. It's not on the main road, you know. You wouldn't really want to go there unless you had to. Micah himself was a country boy, a country man. He wasn't a priest. He was just an ordinary, he wasn't an ordained, he wasn't the most holy reverend Micah. He was just an ordinary country man. Probably never travelled further than Jerusalem, 25 miles. Probably never just moved around there. But he preached in the south of the country in Judah during the reigns of three kings. That's what it tells us. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, chapter 1 and verse 1. Of course, you Bible students in Aberdeen will know what happened in the reigns of Ahaz, Jotham, and Hezekiah. In the 8th century BC. What happened in the 8th century BC? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Because over in the east, Assyria was the new world superpower that was flexing its muscles. And Assyria was coming and would sweep from the east and would come round and would swallow up every country, every nation in its wake. And it was about to gobble up Israel, flexing its muscle. Assyria was coming. And Micah's preaching in the south, but he says in the north, Assyria's going to come. There's going to be problems. And we in the south, we are under threat. He says, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, therefore, I'm going to make Samaria in the north a heap of rubble. And we in the south, in Judah, we're under threat because, verse 3, the Lord is coming for us as well. He's coming down. He's coming in judgment. Why? Because of verse 5. It's all because of your sins and your transgressions. And what were those sins and transgressions? Verse 7 tells us, if you're following. It says it's idols and idolatry. That's our title, idolatry, this morning. Idolatry. So the general drift of Micah is that the Lord is coming in judgment. He's coming because of your idolatry. He's coming to punish. Micah, the actual name, means what's God like? Who is like God? And so I ask this morning, what's God like? Or more pertinently, what's your God like? What is your God like? What's he like? Well, he is a God who, chapter 1 and verse 1, communicates. He's a God who speaks. The word of the Lord came to Micah. He saw a vision. God communicated with Micah, heard a word, and he saw a vision. There was communication from God. There was something, this wasn't something he made up. He didn't wake up one day, Micah, and say, well, it'd be a good idea to be a preacher. I'll make my money being a preacher. Not. He didn't. But that's, he didn't wake up one morning and think that bit. No, God spoke to him. And he felt that this God communicated with him. He saw a vision. He heard God speak. And in fact, in chapter 3 and verse 8, he said God equipped him. He said, I am filled with power. What does he say? Chapter 3 and verse 8. As for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might. I am filled with the Spirit, so that I can speak in tongues, so that I can dance around in this. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I am filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Chapter 3, verse 8, he goes on, so that I can declare your sins, your transgressions, so that I can preach the judgment of God and the forgiveness. Who is God like? He is a God who communicates. And the New Testament tells us, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God in times past has communicated, has spoken to us through his prophets, through people like Micah and Isaiah and the rest of them. The major prophets, the minor prophets, God has spoken in the Old Testament, but now in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. There's Christmas again, Jesus born, our God, contracted to a span. Emmanuel, God is with us. My friends, the word became flesh. God has spoken in Jesus. What's your God like? Is he a God who communicates? He walks with me and he talks with me. We used to sing. He's a God, secondly, who is personal. God is no absentee landlord. In fact, in verse 3, it says, the Lord is coming. He comes down from his dwelling place. He doesn't just sit there, as I said, an absentee landlord. He comes down. He meets with us. And this is where many don't want God, really. When we ask, what's God like? That's what Micah's name means. What's God like? And when we ask people, what's God like? They say, well, they want God to be like a heavenly grandfather, like a heavenly Santa Claus, if you want to continue thinking about Christmas. Like a heavenly, someone who's distant. No, he's not distant. He's a personal God. He's involved in the world. God is working his purposes out. He's personal. Is this your God, a God who speaks through his word, a God who is personal? But he's a God who judges. I need to say a little bit about how biblical prophecy works. Because very often when the prophets preached their message, there was an immediate fulfillment followed by a later, deeper fulfillment. The only example I could think of, and I've written it down, is smoking. All right? I know it's probably a poor example, but smoking. There is an immediate result of smoking. You get a cough. Better be careful, I've got a doctor. but you know, you start, please don't cough, and people, oh, is he? But you know, you get a cough for other reasons. But you know, that's the first. Then you probably walk in up to chapel or somewhere and you become out of puff. And that's another consequence. And you think, oh, I'm a third consequence. You think, oh, I haven't got much money left this month. I can't afford a Hawkins ice cream, which I've had to buy two. I did get a lick, though. But anyway, that's But do you see what I'm saying? There's a progression. You start coughing. You start getting out of puff. You start realizing that you're poor. And the medical profession would say, well, your arteries are hardening. And then you get lung cancer. And then you die. And that's the progression. That's the different. One pastor said, and how appropriate this is for living just by the coast. It's like the waves coming in. You know, there's a first fulfillment, and then another wave comes in, and it's fulfilled in another way, and it happens like that. Well, the first wave is that Assyria is going to come and get Israel in the north. I'm going to make Samaria a heap of rubble. That's the first fulfillment of this prophecy. The Lord is coming, wave after wave. He's coming in judgment because of your sins. Samaria, verse 6 of chapter 1, is going to be destroyed. A heap of rubble. That's the first crashing wave. And that's exactly what happened in 722 BC. Assyria came and took Israel. He says it's going to happen, verse 7, because of your idolatry. And Micah says, what will happen in the north will happen to us. This is going to be the next wave, the next fulfillment of it. It's going to happen to us as well, because we in the south, we're going to be judged for our sin as well. You see the italics above verse 8. It says, weeping and mourning. We in the south, we who, Micah says, we who I'm preaching to, you see what's happened to those in the north, that's what's going to happen to us. There's going to be weeping and mourning because we're going to be Babylon this time is going to come and get us. And he says, well, the final verse of chapter 1, verse 16, you'll shave your heads in mourn. You'll weep and mourn. You'll shave your heads. That's a sign of bitter distress and mourning. Verse 8, he says, there will be weeping. There will be wailing. We'll be going around barefoot. There'll be no shoes. They'll hardly. He says, naked. You won't just take your frock off when you see a bull. You'll take your. This is what he's saying. He says, look, they'll come and they'll take you away, and you'll only have the clothes that you're in, and when they wear out, that's it. This is what he says. I know I'm making light of it, but this is the seriousness. He says, because of this, we'll weep, we'll wail, we'll go around barefoot and naked. We'll try and cover ourselves as best as we can because judgment is coming. This is how serious this is. You know, what's happening? Yeah, we can think, oh, that's in the north. That doesn't affect. It's going to come to us, he says. It's happening for us where we are. It's happening. Weeping and howling and mourning. And it's not going to heal overnight. It's not going to go away because he says in verse 9, he says, this wound is incurable. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to there, I'll put a sticking plaster on it, it'll be all right, and I'll kiss it better. No, it's going to be, And he says in verse 9, it's at the very gate of Jerusalem. It's there. It's it's the next wave to come in. What a preacher Micah was. God speaks. God rules. God's personal. And he comes in judgment. And to reinforce his message, Micah engages in verses 9 to 16. Do you remember all those name places that I mentioned? All those words that I mentioned. Gath and Beth Hophra and Saphir and Zanan and all these places. Maroth and Lachish. Akzib. All these Adullam. It mentions all these name places. These are the little villages. You know, the Parkhams, the Box Mills, if you like. These are the little villages round and about. He said, "What's?" And he engages in sort of, he tries to lighten his message by cracking a few jokes, if you like, a few puns. He makes a few puns about their names, and if you actually look, many of these names that are mentioned, there's a little reference to a footnote. And if you follow it, verse 10, for example, it says, tell it not in Gath, okay? And there by Gath, in my Bible, which is the church Bible, there's the letter B as a footnote. So we go down and it says B, verse 10, Gath sounds like the Hebrew for tell, see? So he's saying, tell it not in tell. In Gath, which means tell. In one of the modern Bibles, it's called The Message. I've actually written it down here so I can read it to you. So if you follow in your Bibles from verse 10, I'm going to read from verse 10 to 16 in a modern Bible, which brings out the puns, if you like. He's saying, what he's actually saying is, you in Westward Ho are going west. You in Appledore are going to be shown the door. That's the gist of what he's saying. Can't think of anything. You in Abbotsham are going to be hamstrung, hamshattled. He's making little puns, little word plays with their, you in Biddeford are going to be Pityford. I'm going to, you know, you're going to need pity. And this is what he says, verse 10, don't gossip about this in Telltown, don't waste your tears. In Dustville, roll in the dust. In Alarm Town, the alarm is, all these name places, if you follow the footnotes, which you'll have to do at leisure, the citizens of Exitborough will never get out, they'll never exit alive. Lament, last stand city, because there's nothing left standing. The villages of Bittertown wait in vain for peace. It's bitterness, not peace. Harsh judgment has come from God and entered Peacetown. All those who live in Chariotville, get in your chariots for flight. You led the daughter of Zion into trusting not God but chariots. Similar sins in Israel. Go ahead and give your goodbye gifts to Goodbyeville. Mirage Town beckoned, but disappointed, just as a mirage disappoints. Inheritance City has lost its inheritance. Glory Town has seen its last of its glory. Shave your heads in mourning over the loss of your towns. Go bald as a goose egg. They've gone into exile and aren't coming back. You get the picture. God is trying to, as I say, make a few funny comments. You know, you in Devon are not in heaven, you're in hell. It's little word plays, it doesn't come out so much in the English, but in the Hebrew, it's the name plays. As I said, Westward Ho, you're going west, you're going into the sea, it'll be time's up for you. You get the picture. What is God's like? What's your God like? Well, Micah's God is a God who speaks, a God who rules, a God who communicates, a God who is personal, and a God who judges, who judges. So is there no hope? Well, there's one final thing that Micah reminds us. He said, he's a God who judges, yes, but he's a God who saves. He's a God who saves. You see, there is hope. There is hope. And just as I said, he dances around in his thought process. Go over to chapter 2. We'll be looking at chapter 2 next week. We know that because I'm the preacher next week as well. So that's, you can book your holidays around. And he says in chapter 2 at the end, verse 12, deliverance is promised. Deliverance is promised. He says, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I'll bring together the remnant of Israel. I'll bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. What does that say? Well, it says, verse 12, this deliverer is a shepherd who restores. A shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. He's a shepherd who restores. Verse 13, he says he's a guide who goes before. Just as he led the children through the wilderness with the pillar of cloud and fire by night, so he guides each one of us. He guides us. He promises to go before. He's a shepherd. He's a guide. And verse 13 continues and says, he's king. The king will pass through before them. He's a king who... What a picture. What a prophetic picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next wave, if you like. The good shepherd. The guide. The one who says, lo, I am always with you. I am with you always, the king of my life. Micah, who is God like? What's your God like? God who speaks, who's personal, who judges, and who saves. No wonder Micah ends his book as he begins. He begins by saying his name. What's God like? And he ends by chapter 7, verse 18. Who is like you? Who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives our transgressions. That's the hymn that we've just sung. So we leave it there, and I know there's been a lot to take on board, really. It's a difficult book, but probably we might have picked up something as we've gone through just this beginning chapter to enable us to see the drift. God judges, but God saves. The gospel message. Let's sing that final hymn, 1008. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.